praying, who should come? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enters through the sound of a rushing wind. And it's very interesting that it's the sound of a rushing wind. It's not the actual, the force of a rushing wind. So the room will be still, and yet they'll hear the the sound of a rushing wind. Nothing is in calamity. Nothing is in chaos. Actually, they're still and they're peaceful. And it links very much with that passage in 1 Kings where Elijah goes up a mountain to meet with God. And there's an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And there's thunder and lightning, but God wasn't in the thunder and lightning. And then there's a still, small voice, and God was in that voice. And actually, it really links together that he has such immeasurable power, and yet he chooses to reveal himself in calm and peaceful ways, like a loving father. A friend of mine recently had a vision for me, and it kind of encapsulated that sentiment. You know, that he is a God of compassion, a God of love, and a God of forgiveness. Kind of a God of grace. And I really want to bring that to our... because that's exactly Peter's message. Could we have our next slide, please? This is an artistic dramatization. It's very colorful, isn't it, that? It's an artistic dramatization of Pentecost with the rushing wind coming through. It's very colourful, very dynamic. Can we have our next one? God's wonderful grace. You see, this is actually Peter's message to the people when he goes outside to preach, that God has a wonderful grace for them. So often, people think that Christians are judgmental. They think that we're very law-based. They think that we're very set in our ways, but actually our message is about the wonderful grace that gives what we don't deserve, that pays us what Christ has earned, and lets us go free. Wonderful grace that gives us the time to change and washes away the stains that once covered me. And that's Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. I'd like for us to begin to picture what it actually looked like. Because I think in our high street in Bromsgrove, even at the town festival, there's still only, maybe 500 to 1,000 people. But actually, there would have been thousands and thousands of people in this area. So if we could have our next one. This, who knows where this is? That's right, Birmingham, the Bullring. This is the closest I could think of to what a massive, massive crowd would look like. I guess it's the Christmas sales, you know? So imagine that when the disciples are filled with the Spirit, when they've had that experience of the tongues of fire, and they've started to speak in tongues, and suddenly they have this bold courage that they didn't have before. Before the door was locked in fear and timidity, but now they've got this bold courage to go out and preach to thousands of people. You know, when I'm walking through Birmingham, there's often actually Christian evangelists in this area. And there were some yesterday, and they always have a kind of some sort of way of getting attention. If it's African churches, that they often have really cool African music and they'll be dancing to it and a lot of passion. Something that I'm not very good at. That's not my kind of thing, but something to really grab the attention of the people and grab their affections. And what did our disciples have? The gift of tongues. Actually being able to speak in the languages of so many people at the same time, not just Aramaic and Hebrew, but everyone from that the different nations that were gathered heard them in their own language. Could we please have our next slide? And here we have it, folks. Peter in the middle with a kind of a blue sash on. And then the other 11 disciples. Can anyone tell me which disciple has been added to the number in Acts chapter 2 around this time? Matthias, that's right. Yeah. Good knowledge. The very interesting thing about this is that actually Peter is not alone. Although he's the kind of the leader of the disciples, he isn't standing there alone. You know, it's not that he's been empowered by the Spirit to go out and preach by himself. No, they're going out as a team. They're going out as a group. They're going to share the word together. And I think that's so important for us today, that actually we realize that whatever it is we're doing for the church, whether that's a ministry inside the church or kind of missionary stuff in the community, actually, we're not doing it alone, but we're doing it as a community. And it's a very powerful thing, actually, Peter being there, surrounded by the other disciples, the other apostles. Imagine if we were to do some sort of outreach in Bromsgrove, for example. And actually, it wasn't just me and Paul, and it wasn't just some members of the leadership team, but there was a massive group of us. That would be so eye-catching, wouldn't it? And if that group wasn't just there, but there was also another group supporting in prayer, then everyone can get involved. Everyone has a part to play, and everyone is welcome to join in the fun of what that is. And that's very much what we're seeing here. Now, finally, I want to comment on Peter himself. The first slide I had was the number 50. The number 50 before this would have been around Easter. And we know that around 50 days before this event, actually Peter wasn't standing there boldly proclaiming his faith. Peter was denying the Lord 3 times, remember? Peter wasn't the confident, courageous man, ready to speak not just in his language, but in languages of other people. Peter was a scared, timid man. Do you know Jesus? Is this your Lord? No, I've never met him. No, I don't know who he is. 3 times. And we just see such a change in Peter. Such a repentance, such a transformation to go from that place where it's almost as though he's in a locked room, metaphorically, to where he is now, where the door's flung open and he's courageously preaching for the Lord. Perhaps we might be in a similar position. Actually, perhaps in our families or in our work, maybe we're in a position, actually, we're a bit afraid for people to know that we're Christian. Or in our day, it's all right that they know we're Christian personally, but we don't want to offend them by actually talking about it, you know? I think that's probably more apparent. And we might be like Peter in that way, that actually we're kind of fearful, and we kind of want to deny, and we kind of want to keep it to ourselves. On our own, that is where we are. But when the Spirit comes, he fills us with courage, with power, with visions and dreams. And so a man in only about 50 days who had kind of cowered away is now courageously proclaiming the faith. And some of the stuff he says is very interesting. He quotes Old Testament passages. He quotes specifically from the book of Joel. In the last days, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men dream dreams. So, do you see visions or do you have dreams? More importantly, what are your dreams? But what are the dreams that God has put on your heart for Bromsgrove, for the church? Could we please have our next slide, Craig? I want to leave this one up for a while. What dream has God put on your heart for Bromsgrove? What dream has he put on your heart? Maybe that's something for your college or university. Maybe that's something for your office. Maybe that's something for the wider community, the hub. What dream has God put on your heart? Maybe that's something in Naylor's Court or one of the other retirement homes. Just want you to take a minute and reflect, actually. Reflect on this day of Pentecost, that actually, if in your faith right now, you kind of feel like you're in a locked room, you know, you're trying to protect yourself, you're just trying to keep yourself to yourself. Actually, if the Spirit was to come on you and empower you, what dream could he fulfill through your life? In this place and in this time. Just take a moment to think about that. What dream has God put on your heart? And remember, when it comes to achieving that, we're much stronger together, right? We're not operating in isolation, but we're operating together as a church family. When you come to share your faith, know that you are supported by your church family. And I guess also, we do need to be aware in our day to try not be too judgmental when we share our faith. A lot of what I glean is that people think that Christians are very judgmental. I had a conversation with a homeless guy yesterday in Birmingham, and he had a tract that he'd been given, and he said something like, "Oh, I know, like what I need to do is I've been told I need to repent of my sins or something like that." And then he said to me, "But I don't really know if I've sinned." Or he said, I don't think I've sinned." And I think it's, in a way, it's wonderful that someone would give him a tract, so to speak. But it's a bit sad that the message he's taken from that isn't that God really loves him, but that he needs to repent. And I think when we come to share our faith, let's really try and share it from the heart. You know, let's really try and share that he's not a vengeful God, but like a compassionate and loving and gracious God. And maybe that is the dream that is on our hearts, actually, that our church might be more full. It's pretty full already. It's a lot bigger than the last church I was working for, but wouldn't it be nice to grow even more? Like, even if we're already in a healthy position, wouldn't it be nice to grow even more? And I'm not saying, you know, on the day of Pentecost they added 3,000. Gosh. But 30 might be a good goal. Right? And we might have to do things differently. We might have to look at things differently, and we might have to pray differently, but as we approach the future together as a church family, know that we're doing it together. If we could please, Craig, put the picture of Peter and the disciples when they're preaching up one more time. Thank you. No, this is the picture of us as a church, I think, that actually we are stood almost on a platform, as Christians, as Baptists, as Bromsgrove Baptist Church, we are stood on a platform, but we're not alone on that platform. Actually, we're together. And we do need to pray for one another. I really liked what Pope Francis said when he came to be Pope. He didn't make a great speech about how good he was. He actually just said, pray for me, you know, as he was starting. And I guess as I'm starting, I would really encourage you to pray for me. And I'm sure he will give you the right words and such like. But please do pray for me. Please pray for Paul and the leadership team and all of the volunteers and such like. And pray for every church member that we understand that we're together in this, you know? I think that's a big message, finally, of Pentecost. That God loves each one of us, that God's got a wonderful plan for us as a church, and that we're already achieving a lot of it. Perhaps we need a little bit more of the Spirit just to achieve that little bit more, you know? It's kind of like, well done for all that you're already doing. I wonder what the new dreams and the new visions could be too. And in the coming weeks, I would really encourage you, just as the disciples were huddled together in that upper room, I would encourage you to have your kind of upper room place. A place where you do shut the door, you turn off the telly, whatever it is, and you have your time to just dwell and remember how much he loves you, and your time to be filled and remember how much he wants to share his love through you. Amen. So